Hello, this is Family Stories on Expression Radio, and I'm here with Ronnie. I'm Brian, and we are back for another episode, and we're just excited to be with our guest this morning, who is a, you know, there's no friends like the school ball field friends. When you've got the football mom's text, you know it's people who you can count on.
Absolutely.
And so we've got Sharon Hornbuckle with us this morning, and our sons are both in eighth grade together and do all the sports. And
yes,
we've got to hang out a little bit at track meets lately.
Recently, in the heat.
And a little bit of everything. Yeah.
Yeah. And I have to say this about Sharon, too, speaking of that football mom's text. You know, earlier in the football season, her son Jolin had an injury, and he is very elite on our football team, so it was a definite loss for our undefeated championship team. Shout out to the Huntington Middle Eagles.
Go Eagles!
But anyway, in that text was nothing but prayers and there for Jolin. And then fast forward to the spring when our Rowan ends up in the hospital, and those football moms were some of the first ones that I messaged. Please pray. We Absolutely. Are on our way to Columbus to have emergency surgery for Rowan. And anyway, so it's really cool.
Look at both of them.
Yes, look at both of them back on the track field doing their thing.
Ready to go.
Yeah. It's really cool. But so, Sharon, that's just our friendship and kind of how we get to spend a lot of our time together. But introduce yourself and tell everybody a little about you and your family.
Well, I'm Sharon Hornbuckle, technically Myers because I'm remarried, but I'm running under my maiden name. I have lived in Campbell County my whole entire life. My mom taught for 35 years as a teacher. My dad started out as a welder at CSX and worked his way up to supervisor prior to his passing. I have a 14-year-old son, as you mentioned. He's my everything. He's my little guy. I wouldn't be life without him. He goes to Huntington Middle School. He's in the eighth grade, and we are working towards high school without me crying. I say God put me in this race right now because he knew I would just be crying and just lamenting over the fact that my baby is growing up. Uh-huh. So this ends May 14th. I think I have about 10 days after that to just, so he was like, no, I'm going to make her busy so she won't think about the fact that he's going to be in high school. I have my husband, Kevin Monroe Meyer Sr., who's a wonderful, wonderful man. And I always say I prayed for you, and he's just everything I've ever wanted in a husband. And we have, I have two bonus kids, Kevin Monroe Myers Jr. and Ramiah Myers, and so she's the girl I never got.
There
and she's
go.
All things sparkle and glitter and sass and
how old are
you
they?
Name Kevin is the same age as Jolin, so they're 14, and they've okay. been best buddies since the day they met. I mean,
that's
like
awesome.
Two talking heads when they got together, and I was like, oh, this is going to work.
Love
and
it.
Then Ramiah is 8, so she is I'm telling you, just pure fun, just pure fun. So I'm very blessed. I think that's it.
That's awesome.
I think that's it.
Well, as Sharon mentioned, she is running here in Campbell County for a family court judge. But with her being our friend, we just wanted to have her on and really get the family story behind the campaign and behind and the person behind it all. And she has, not only is she smart and serving in the community and so qualified, but Sharon, your heart is just so for people. And I think about even watching you at like a football game, and she'll be up dancing if they've got a song during the timeout, and all of the eighth grade kids or all the kids in general just come to her. Liz, I think of Liz. Just,
oh, that's my baby.
She's
girl.
Just in the car with you, yeah. ready to go.
But you know that it all you know that sense of community that you have, and the way that you, it's just a natural thing for you to be in the community and serving others and all that kind of thing. Where does that come from? Tell us a little bit about your background.
Well, so my dad grew up in Logan, and my grandfather was a preacher. He was also a coal miner. So, and my grandmother had 7 kids. So serving is just something we've always done. My dad was a coach, Uncle Mike, Uncle Fred, Uncle Moses, I'm trying to think, pretty much every Uncle Lee, all of my uncles coached. My Aunt Jackie, she was, her sons were in the band. I mean, we just served. My mom, again, my mom taught for 35 years in Campbell County. And I remember buying Christmas presents for kids, buying back to school clothes for kids, Easter baskets. Just if they needed it, we bought groceries several times for different families. And so I was sitting back because I'm getting older and wiser and realizing where that love for service came from. And it's just been ingrained in me. Mm-hmm. And I was telling you all before we started, I'll send money with Joel mm-hmm. to different events and he'll come home broke. And I'm like, where did all the money go, son? Well, so-and-so didn't have any money and so-and-so. So I bought them all. And first I get upset. I'm like, no, this is what you want him to be. You want him to be a good person. So mm-hmm. I think I've succeeded, even though my pocketbook may not agree right. with me.
But it's so exciting to hear that the way that, and you know, like you said, a lot of times you don't even realize it's happening. Mm-hmm. You're just living in your family, existing in your family. And then you see, over time, you start realizing, well, this is just what we do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is just what we do. And they're not, you're not thinking anything about it until, like you said, we get a little bit older and wiser and we look back and go, look what God has done.
Absolutely.
Look at what generationally is being passed yeah. on.
Look at how he's ordered my steps. I mean, he's ordered my amazing. Steps into this role. And that's why I thank him every day. I mean, I just y'all gonna have me in here shouting.
So take us back. So growing up, you decided to go to law school.
Yes.
And so just tell us how that kind of journey unfolded.
To be quite honest, second grade, I said, I want to be a lawyer. And I wanted to be a lawyer to wear the suits.
Okay.
It was
about the fashion.
Yes, I do not like wearing suits now. And if I don't have to wear a suit, I don't. But then I've always liked kids. I've always loved kids. I guess when mom was a teacher, little kids, I love little kids and I love seniors. They're honest. They're fun. Just the energy they give. Mm-hmm. So I went to college at the University of Richmond. I was a Bonner Scholar. That's a scholarship that you have to do 15 hours of community service a week. And one of my...
Oh, every week?
Every week, child.
Whoa.
every week.
Falls on that there.
Yeah. Every week. And one of my sites was an inner city after school tutoring in Richmond. And there was a little girl, Paris. And I fell in love with Paris. I still have her picture in my office today. And so I was like, I've always wanted to help kids. So from there, I went to law school. I was like, I'm going to law school to help kids.
Wow.
I went to legal aid, where I helped families with divorces, custody, child support, guardianships with grandparents. Even took a couple cases to the Supreme Court. And then at the prosecuting attorney's office, I did domestics, but also did juveniles. And I got to see kids every day. I got in trouble in Judge Farrell's court all the time for hugging the defendants. He's like, we don't hug the defendants. Yes, we do. And then now at the Board of Education, I just get to help kids and families. We have our alternative school at the other end of the building where they serve lunch and breakfast, but I usually go there for lunch several days a week. And just getting their energy, they're like, we like your outfit, or we like the shoes, or like your hair. They're like, my best is you're pretty. I'm like, I needed that today. Thank you, baby. So, I mean, I've always, and that's what I'm doing, and that's what I want to do as family court judges, continue helping kids. I mean, if you see my house, I've got boys over there all the time running in and out, eating me out of house and home. And I'm going to start crying because I got like 4 more years and then I won't have kids there all the time. But if I get this job, Lord willing, that's where he wants me to be, then I'll still be able to be around kids and have an impact on them and their families and their lives in the community.
Yeah. So, you know, I was just thinking like he said, generational, that family connection that you've had and just mirrored for you and just part of your all's DNA. To serve, whether it's coach, whether it's this, but something also cool that you mentioned was that this family court judge was your dream job. And that she was just tell them about what you have on your shelf or just tell us about that dream that you have.
Even in my current position, when I've done interviews for jobs, I said, what is your ultimate goal? I'm like, to be family court judge. And I have a Judge Barbie on my bookshelf in my office. And I mean, this is what I aspire to be. This is where I want to be, Lord. So help me get there. And he really has. I have a great, I cannot get off here without complimenting my campaign crew, my campaign managers, deputy campaign managers, treasurers, PR person, and just friends that helped me pick up Joel and give my mom dinner because I'm also my mom's caregiver. Just help me talk reality into me, talk sense into me. I don't have yes people, I have no Sharon. You can't wear that pink suit. Still hanging up in my closet. I'm going to wear the suit for the summer. But just, and it's all from a place of love. And mm-hmm. you can't you can't put a price on that. You can't do anything with people when you have people in your corner that just truly love and care about you. So I'm very blessed to have them, and I thank you all.
Well, speaking of that, where you said it's all about love, and I was just loving the ensuring love remains. Ensuring love remains, that slogan. And like we said, it's on t-shirts and different things, but it's who you are. It's your heart. So tell a little bit about the heart behind that, ensuring love remains.
I'll say nobody gets married intending on getting divorced. Nobody has a kid with somebody thinking that they're not going to be with them for the rest of their lives. Grandparents definitely don't think they're going to have to raise their grandkids.
Right.
And a lot of times in family court, the situations just change. And people think it's broken. They think, well, I failed at my marriage. I'm divorced. Or I didn't make it work with my son's father. That's not the case. It's just different. It's not broken. It's different. And what remains there is that love we have for the kids. That love, even though you're divorced, you have for the other person. You may not want to be with them, but there was a time in your life where you loved that person more than anything in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So love will stay. It's a constant, and I want to ensure that love remains in family court as family court judge. I was telling Bree before we got on here that I'm a DV survivor. My son's father, ex-husband, was abusive. So I've been divorced. I'm now remarried. We have two bonus kids, so we're doing the whole blended family thing and doing custody exchange. They live in Martinsburg, but we have to work through all those things. So people that come into my courtroom, look, I've done it. I'm doing it. It's not always fun. There's tears. There's arguments. There's lots of things that go on with it, but we're making it through, and I want to make it through with them. We're going to make it, and love will be there through it all.
You know, really early on in my life, you know, it's right after I got out of Marshall, I was a child protection service worker for a few years. And, you know, the system, even back then, which that's been a few years ago now. But
we aren't aging.
But even back then, it was like the system was so overrun and the caseloads were so heavy that, you know, you had a couple kinds of people that were working in the middle of all of that. Mm-hmm. You had those that were there for the love and compassion and taking care of people. And then you had those that were like working a system that they felt jaded about.
Absolutely.
And they're just, everybody was just kind of paperwork. Absolutely. That I need to hurry up and get done in 30 or 60 or 90 days.
Absolutely.
And, you know, so, and a lot of people would honestly have a concern, you know, to get in these really tough situations as a family, things like you said that they never would have thought would have happened to them.
Absolutely.
It wasn't what anybody set out for. And then, you know, the fear a lot of times is, wow, now we're getting put into a system.
Absolutely.
That don't love us, that's not in the middle of our family, doesn't care for us.
Doesn't get it.
And, you know, we try to share our uniqueness and they're going, shut up, and here's the way, you know, all that.
Yes.
And it's a scary thing sometimes to be in the middle of a system. And it's a really awesome thing to hear when you're talking about ensuring love remains as a platform for moving forward as a family court judge. That gives me a lot of comfort and faith, just going like, this is a judge that is looking like, hey, like you said, things, just because things didn't work out in the first wave of your life,
exactly,
in the way that you had planned, you know, that's just the beginning of a, hey, we're going to restructure a few things here. We're going to set things in order so that life can remain.
Absolutely.
Love can remain. It may be different, but it's going to remain.
Yes.
You know, and that would be, I think people would love to know that there's a judge that's thinking about life beyond that hearing.
Thank you.
And the way that it is.
And life beyond that paperwork, you know, that it's... It's a person, it's a family.
This is the real deal. This is every day you wake up and this is how you have to live your life now. The choices you've made, the consequences, and it's serious and it's important and it's some of the most difficult times in people's lives, some of the most important issues in people's lives. Your kids, your money, those are two things you don't mess with me.
Mm-hmm.
<I'm> like, my son goes, it's God first and then me. Yes, baby. And then my money because I have to feed you. So, I mean, I'm ready to. You have to.
Well, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back on Family Stories with Sharon Hornbuckle.
We hope you are enjoying today's show. We believe that God has given us a voice to impact communities and regions all over the world. If you would like to make sure that voice is heard, please partner with us today by visiting www.expressionradio.org and click donate. You can also text give by texting the dollar amount followed by the word radio to the number 84321. First-time text givers, please choose Expression Church of Huntington when prompted. All gifts are tax deductible. Join us as we change the world.
We are back on Family Stories, and we have our guest, Sharon Hornbuckle, with us today. She's our friend. Our boys are in middle school together, and also is running for family court judge here in our county. And it's just been so cool to hear her story of just how God has ordered her steps to this moment, how her family generational DNA has been one of service and one of impacting your community, and how she even sees that in her own son. And so we just are happy to have her on just to share her experience and just kind of get to know her beyond her platform, which is Ensuring Love Remains, which is just so awesome. But we were just talking about how she has been through the county and through the city to the inner city, Milton, Salt Rock. She's headed to Woodlands this week, just which is a retirement community here in our area, and just has been able to see kind of all the people of our county and just the heart of West Virginians. And so tell us a little bit about your experience with that.
Well, I have to admit that a lot of my time has been spent in Huntington, Fairfield, that community. So this has given me the opportunity to see, again, all of Cabell County. I was in Salt Rock. The first time I went to Salt Rock, an older gentleman came up to me and said, "I like you." I said, "Well, I like you too." And I was there yesterday. They have a monthly luncheon, and I mean, he's like, "Three people love you." I said, "Who's that?" He's like, "God loves you, Jesus loves you, and I love you." I said, "Aw." I said, "Well, thank you." And then I met a lady up there. I had helped when I worked at Legal Aid of West Virginia. I mean, one thing I've realized in the campaign is you have to put your trust in God. Occasionally, you'll start. And a few weeks back, I was starting to. It was about me. It was about me. It was about winning this race. It was about doing this. And I went to a meeting like, put your trust in God. Mm-hmm. And so when the people are coming up to me and saying, "You helped me, you've done this," I wasn't doing that to win an election. I wasn't doing that to get a job. I was doing that because that's what God wanted me to do.
Yeah.
And that's what's gotten me here today. And that's what has given people faith in me and faith that I will be able to carry out this duty. So if you put your trust in God and just do what He wants you to do, it'll all work out. So
yeah, I was just talking with this is just a little thing with me, but I was driving around with Rowan the other day, and we pulled kind of into the town of Huntington there, and I said, "Rowan, do you realize that you play sports for this whole city?"
Yeah,
I said, "It's not just." I said, "You ever look in the stands and stuff? There's more people there than just parents."
They're all supporting you.
They're all mm-hmm. in the middle. And so, and I don't know if he'd ever thought about that before. He goes, "Man.
Way to scare him, Dad."
But,
pressure on.
But it's meaningful, though, when you recognize, and you're going to be, I'm saying it right now, you're going to be
into existence,
family court judge.
Woo, yes.
for Cabell County, that's what we pray. And just to recognize you're going into all these different communities and you're seeing, each little city has its own issues, its own unique family dynamics, all those kind of, family dynamics in Salt Rock can be very different from family Absolutely. Dynamics in the middle of Fairfield and,
Absolutely. But you know what? Although they seemed, a lot of them are not as dissimilar, and that's what I've learned, as mm-hmm. we would think, from the East End to the West End yeah. to the city. We could all really just come together and have a big old party. Because, there are so many commonalities and similarities within the city and the county yeah. that I didn't realize. I mean, everybody, like I was saying, they're just good people, just good, hardworking, nice, comforting, welcoming people all over Cabell County, and mm-hmm. that's all I've seen when I've been on the campaign trail.
Yeah, that's that kind of hard, and being able to go from place to place and really see that that hey, we're all the same here. It's different settings, and
exactly.
It's the same heart.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. That is going to empower the way that you are taking care of these families.
And again, God has placed me there, because otherwise I never would have. I would have been hanging out in Salt Rock. I would have been hanging out in Milton. I mean, I just don't, and now I get to, and it's been a good time. It's been fun. I have to say that it's been challenging. I'm tired, but it's definitely been a fun time. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah,
it's been a good ride.
You know, our pastor here at Expression, Kevin West, he talks about, well, just the whole existence of our church is we're the expression of Christ in everyday life. And I just look at you, Sharon, and this is, you know, his vision and his heartbeat for our congregation and our city and region is to, where is God calling you? Where can you, even if it's a risk, even if it's uncomfortable,
exactly,
where can you go and be planted by the Lord to be used from him to help people and to
With who you uniquely are.
Mm-hmm. And you are doing that. And you are just such a picture of that. And so I'm so thankful for that, because that's such a part of our DNA here at Expression. And you're just a big example of it right now, just walking that in. And you think about God appointing people, and whether you're a school teacher like your mom, you know, whether you're a coach like your uncles, and Ronnie gets to do that so much. And, you know, I really feel purposeful at my job at Marshall University.
Absolutely.
I feel, you know, called to be in my seat and planted. But to be, to have that impact, already, you're already in the Cabell County school system with our legal team, but in the setting of the family court judge, to know that the Lord has a praying, believing in people.
Absolutely.
Even though we all have days where we could feel like, what's it all worth at times? But and just the, because it's not always an uplifting story. There's a lot that, but you standing in there, you know, as just one of his people, the hands and feet that ensuring love, you know, on behalf of the Lord, I just think it's just such a cool journey that you're on through this. And we'll see, you know, how everything unfolds. But like you said, tell us a little bit about how you were seeing your faith has, you know, he told you to trust him. And then, you know, win or lose, just kind of where you are with that.
That's what I mean. I'm just thankful for my faith. You said the DNA about service, but definitely God. I mean, our family is a praying family, and I'm quick to pray for you. You see, you having a rough day, we're going to hold hands. We're going to pray in the corner. Mm-hmm. We'll stop right here, right now, and get this little prayer in. But I truly, truly want this. And I said, God grant you the desires of your heart. But I also know that if I don't get this, it's not where God wants me right now.
Mm-hmm.
And God has something bigger or better planned for me. That little meme where you see Jesus holding the little teddy bear, and she's like, but I want him. And he has the great big teddy bear behind him.
Right.
He's like, but I have something better for
uh-huh.
you. So I will take wherever he wants me is where I'm going to be. And with that, I said, I've gained a peace. I've gained a comfort. And I'm ready for it, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know what? What Jolyn gets to experience on a daily basis, as far as being in your family, being in the realm of your influence, and all those kind of things, we're trying to crunch into a 30-minute time. Okay.
Okay.
So what we're wanting, you know, a little bit is to know a little bit about the way that you see things when you look at your family's life of service. You know, even your cousin serves.
As a delegate and a house delegate.
Yeah, so it's a family affair. And so when you look over all of that, you know, we always like to be able to look into and go, you know, if when you look over all that, like, what would you keep? What would you go, okay, we need to avoid this. This is kind of a smoke screen. It looks like something good, and it's really not good at all. Or and the big thing for Jolyn, right, is what would you want to make sure to donate on, or that you'd want to see lived out in front of him? Any of those questions you can just throw out right now.
Okay. As far as donate on, and I think I've covered that one, is mm-hmm. you raise your kids, you want them to be smart. And we were up till about midnight working on our English class.
All right, there we go.
Yes, you want them to be smart. I praise God he's an athlete. I was not an athlete. Well, my aunts, I did dance and choir and things, but I was never star football player, obviously.
And he is an athlete.
Like, and he's tall and he's handsome and he's sweet, but he's kind. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I mean, he's a kind when he's not
everyone
being rotten.
Loves it.
He's not being rotten. He's a kind kid. Mm-hmm. And I said, that's something I just thank God for that. Because I've tried, but you don't say every day, hey baby, be kind. Well, so sometimes I do, but it's just something that God has given him just to have a kind soul, and he's just giving, and he's caring, and so that's something
you're
I want.
You're seeing it passed on.
I am, and I was like, I've done all right, Lord.
Let me share a quick. I'm gonna share a quick Jolyn story.
Oh Lord Jesus.
That Rowan told me about. Okay,
that's okay.
So Rowan, you know, those of you that listen to us know that Rowan had a really horrific abscess develop over his eye, and spends up, you know, lots of time in the hospital recently, and you know, it was ugly. I'm talking physically, look ugly. You know, just the scar, the swelling, you know, it can really be off-putting. And so, you know, Rowan was having to walk back into school, you know, after surgery. And they were pretty much like, send him back. And we were like, hold on. But he walks in, and he said that Jolyn was the first one that he saw. And me too. Listen to this. I'm really gonna knock you out, Mom. Stop. Jolyn greets him, grabs him by the face, stares at him, uh-huh. Looks straight at the eye, and Rowan's going, "What is going on here?" And they're like that, and he goes, "Okay." And just kind of smacked him on the cheek, you know. But it was like this moment of like, whatever you're worried about, like I'm right now, yeah. I'm looking right at it. Yeah. I think you're okay. I was worried about you. I think you're okay.
Yeah.
I just thought that was such a cool moment
it
from Jolyn.
And it was just, you know, Rowan felt seen.
Uh-huh.
You know, it took for that to be his first encounter back, you know, it took that kind of, then they chuckled.
A little humor.
Because they're both quieter.
They are. Uh-huh. Yes,
and
yes.
But they say a lot by just saying, okay, you're okay. You know, that says a lot between the two of them. So it is just a cool thing. And just who you are is walking the halls of Huntington Middle and, you know, showing kindness to our son. And so it's really cool.
Well, that's my baby. And what I would give throw away, I was trying to think, just, and it's easy to say, but self-doubt. And we're all going to encounter it. But as long as you're doing the best that you can do, it may not be perfect. It may not be even what you set out to do, but as long as you're praying and doing the best that you can do, being a good Christian, just get rid of the self-doubt. It's all going to be okay. It's all going to work out. But like again, I'll probably have it again before May 14th because that's just that's what happens.
Yeah.
But you're taking
push that to the side.
Steps forward. Yes. You know, I think that's like you said, we're all going to have those self-doubt moments. But as long as you are not letting it stop you or stunt you, but you're taking those steps forward, you're taking a risk, you're being uncomfortable, you're moving forward, I think that the Lord can use all of that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What I'm going to keep is my village is amazing. I'm really going to cry. From the football moms to my work family, to my real family, to my friends, they have always been supportive. Of everything, all my mom's teacher friends, like an army of like 20 women. And everybody doesn't get that.
Right.
Everybody doesn't have what I have. And it's just, it's a blessing and it's awesome.
I think of Keturah when you say that because
I'm like, can you go pick up Jolyn? Okay.
Right. It is the village that you all are. It's there for each other, supporting your kids. You feel like her kids are like yours and vice versa.
One day she lost her keys. And all her kids had dentist appointments.
So you got the call.
I took half a day. I took her kids to the dentist. Like, that's just what we do.
So. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, you're thankful for that, and what's cool about that is knowing that you're that for so many.
Yes.
And so we're thankful to be able to have you on today. And
thank you. No, I messed up my makeup.
Well, Sharon, we just have enjoyed having you. And again, if you are out there listening and you're feeling a couple different things maybe from this episode, maybe you're feeling that challenge to step forward. What expression can you be in your life that is what God's calling you to do? Or maybe you are feeling like, okay, you know where I am, I'm planted, and God has me there for a purpose, and I need to be his hands and feet where I am. Or maybe you're someone who's been through domestic violence or still going through the middle of a divorce or dealing with custody issues. And we just want you to know that Sharon, Ronnie, and I, we are just praying that our Family Stories listeners are, you know, feeling God's love and know that you are not alone, but we have people planted for you, and we want to ensure love remains. Thank you for listening. That we mean that. It was cute, but we mean it. This has been Family Stories on Expression Radio.
We hope you are enjoying today's show. We believe that God has given us a voice to impact communities and regions all over the world. If you would like to make sure that voice is heard, please partner with us today by visiting www.expressionradio.org and click donate. You can also text give by texting the dollar amount followed by the word radio to the number 84321. First-time text givers, please choose Expression Church of Huntington when prompted. All gifts are tax deductible. Join us as we change the world.